history through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are people right there around you who you might be fooled into thinking are pretty ordinary, but in actuality have been through really extraordinary things in the service of our country. And we want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, we learn a lot. We're educated. We're entertained. Quite often, we find ourselves inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. One of the things that can really bring history alive today, developments like the news released last week of the discovery of the cruiser USS Helena, found a little more than half a mile deep on the floor of the New Georgia Sound in the Solomon Islands. It's just the latest find by the crew of the research vessel Petrel, commissioned by Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen, who now, in just the past year, has located the wreckage of the long-lost cruiser Indianapolis, the carrier Lexington, the light cruiser Juno, and now the Helena. When word came of the Juno's discovery in the Solomon Islands a couple weeks ago, I contacted Ski Bernacki, a Pearl Harbor survivor who had seen the Juno go down, claiming the lives of nearly 700 Americans in the Naval Battle of Guadalcanal in November 1942. Ski had quite a reaction, but it was nothing compared to the news that wasn't too far behind. Nearly 75 years after the sinking of the Helena left him swimming through oily waters for a while without a life jacket, we'll hear more about that in a bit, that cruiser aboard which he endured some of World War II's most intense battles was discovered in her final resting place. So when PaulAllen.com announced that the Helena had been found, I reached out to Chase Anderson, a retired educator, who first met Ski when profiling him for a great series of magazine articles on World War II vets, who has truly changed this 96-year-old's life and remains a big part of his life. Chase and Ski happened to be in the middle of their regularly scheduled high-stakes game of cribbage, but the energetic nonagenarian was beside himself at the news and was soon online looking at photos sent back from the Petrel submersible. I knew I needed to cruise up to California's gold country and capture a little bit of his reaction for you and let him reflect on all the unexpected developments he's experienced since we first met him on Hometown Heroes about a year and a half ago.
Just getting back to that first interview with you, God, I tell you, I've had more people ask me about different things from all over the country. Matter of fact, I just sent off some pictures that some guy from Austria wanted me to sign and autograph some photos. I'll show you the pictures of them. It's something else.
Well, yeah, you're a famous guy. You're pretty well known, but I bet you never anticipated when you first talked to Chase Anderson here in Jamestown about your Pearl Harbor story that over the course of a couple of years, you'd go to Pearl Harbor for the 75th anniversary. You'd go to Washington, D.C. with Central Valley Honor Flight. You'd hear that the Juno, a ship that you saw, sunk, and you saw parts of it flying through the air, would be discovered. And then the most recent news that your own ship, the Helena, was found. Could you ever have dreamed that those things would happen?
Oh, my God, I'll tell you, you don't know how many times. You know, it's going to be 75 years in about 3 months when we were sunk, July the 6th. 1943. And there's been times I get on a computer and I get to going back to the Solomon Islands and that area down in there where all this stuff happened. And I wonder how deep the ship was and different things. And finally here, all of a sudden it hit me all at one time. You don't know the feeling unless it happens to you. My God, I'll tell you, I couldn't even sleep last night. All right, just thinking about all the things I thought about my friends and stuff that came to my mind last night.
You thought of friends from the Helena and what they were doing all those years ago?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, guys that I knew, went on Liberty with, and guys that I knew that got killed and stuff, and I wondered about. It was something else. It really was.
You can't dive down there and touch your ship, but these pictures are probably the next best thing. What was it like to look at those pictures and see the 50 on the side of the hole?
Oh, that's the thing that really got to me. When I saw that on there, I says, honey, they must have did a hell of a good job painting. And that was, you know, the funny part about that, that's the numbers on the bow. And the bow was completely blown off all the way to it too. So it, I don't know why it, when it settled, I don't know whether it's right close to the main part of the ship or what. But something else, all that rust and stuff, God. And I... The one thing comes to my mind is if they ever get down there, I hope to go to my locker, because I had just bought a watch, a wristwatch, at the ship store, and I think I wore it once or twice before the battle, and the night of the battle I didn't wear it, and it's in my locker down there somewhere. I even forget how much I paid for it, but it was my first wristwatch.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll send a memo to Paul Allen and his team that if they happen to be in there, which I doubt they're going to be allowed to do, but you never know. What else did you notice in those photos and just a little piece of video that's come out from their dive?
The thing come to my mind is the bow was blown off, so when the ship went down, it couldn't have been very much current because the bow is pretty close to, I think, the main part of the ship. And there's not too many pictures of it right now, but probably eventually it will be a lot because that doohickey that they used, that guy sent it down there, an unmanned submarine explorer, whatever it is, found it, God, after almost 75 years.
And there's very few of you guys left that were on the ship when that happened. If Paul Allen were to call you right now and want to talk to you about it, the guy who paid for them to go down and find your ship, what would you want to say to him?
Oh, I'd be so thankful to God Almighty. Hey, 75 years, I've been thinking about this, you know. Every time I get on a computer, matter of fact, I have a map over there with my pinprint right on it, right where the ship went down in Kula Gulf and all the battles that took place. And we had 13 naval engagements. A lot of stuff happened down there in them days.
When he says a lot of things, he means a lot of things. And you can see that map he's talking about for yourself in a short video posted on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page and at hometownheroesradio.com, where you can also link to our original interview with Ski from 2016. We'll hear more about his most recent adventures in a bit, but for now, to help you put all of that in perspective, let's get a taste of what he went through in World War II, starting with December 7th, 1941.
The night before,
yeah.
I went ashore with a couple of buddies of mine. We got back at 12 o'clock, and this one buddy, real good buddy of mine, Charlie Cioffi, had the duty that day, so he was on the quarter deck, had the duty from 8 to 12. And I woke up in the morning, I did my thing, and then I had breakfast, and I decided I'd go ashore. So I went down to the Foot Locker, and I broke out my shoes and put another buffing on them, and I was sitting there, and I got an uncomfortable feeling. And I says, God, I think I'll go topside and have a smoke. So as I started up the ladder, the general quarters alarm sounded, and it says, all hands manage your battle stations. Not knowing what the heck was going on, I dropped everything, which you were trained to do, and I headed for my mount, my battle station. And just as I got inside the mount, there was a big explosion. And I figured, what the hell's going on here, you know? We manned the mount. They reported to sky aft, went into director control, and we started firing. From what I understand, I think we were the first ship to get hit. It came over Ford Island toward the 1010 dock that we were tied up at, in place of the Pennsylvania, which should have been there, but the Pennsylvania had moved forward into the dry dock.
Right.
Which was ahead of us.
And when you say there was an explosion, I want to make it clear for people listening, you're not talking about an explosion on another ship. You're talking about an explosion on your ship that you felt.
Oh, yeah, the ship just shook, and I didn't know what was happening. You know, who would think you were going to be in the start of a war?
Right.
You know, but like I say, being we had so much training that everything fell into place. You did things automatically without even thinking.
And I want to ask about something else you said there, too. You know, you said that you were going to go ashore, and then you got an uneasy feeling. Premonition that something was wrong, or what?
I don't know what it was. I really don't. Honestly, I'm being honest. I said, I think I'll just go up topside and have a cigarette, you know. And as I did, the announcing system from the quarterdeck are telling us, man your battle stations. So being trained like we were, everybody headed for what they were supposed to do. And what was bad about it is it happened so fast that we didn't have time to set the damage control all over the ship. So when we got hit in the forward fire room, between the forward fire room and the forward engine room. Just put a big gaping hole in the side, and she just settled there at the dock, which wasn't very deep, you know, just deep enough to in and out.
Right. So if you guys would have been hit in the same spot on the ship but been in deeper water, it would have been a much different scenario.
Well, that's another story about Kula Gulf.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. The end of your ship. So December 7th, this morning, you get to that battle station, and you're loading these shells, loading shell after shell after shell, I would imagine. But you can't see anything, right?
No, because we're inside the mount.
So you have no idea what's happening out there.
I had no idea. And then all of a sudden there was a, I forget how long we were firing, but then we had a lull. And we were told to go outside, clear the casings off the deck, throw them over on the dock, and cut the awnings down, because we had awnings, frilled awnings, you know, up over the bow and the quarter deck and stuff. We had to get that canvas off the ship so it wouldn't catch fire and stuff and whatnot. When I went outside to throw those casings and to clear the decks, I looked over toward Battleship Row, and all you could see was this smoke and the mortar launches and tugs running around picking up survivors and stuff. It was off in the distance,
right?
You know, but you could just see turmoil, black smoke rising. And at the time, if I remember right, when I looked over there, I thought I saw the Oklahoma capsizing. So then all of a sudden, here we come again, back in the mount, started shooting again.
So you're a 19-year-old kid. You come up to the top of your ship in this paradise that you've been enjoying for a while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this is what you see. How mind-blowing was that to look at that?
I don't know how to explain it. What the heck's going on? You know, even right now, I can't imagine how I felt.
Was it, I guess, opposite ends of that spectrum would be, on one hand, it could be a punch to the gut that makes you really emotional, and on the other hand, just so shocking that you're almost numb to it and you don't even know what's going on. Was it somewhere in between that?
Even right now, I can remember a lot of stuff that happened after the attack, and them guys went over to get burned and stuff. You could smell the flesh from the at the hospital when the wind changed and blew over the harbor. They moved us into dry dock, and it was a new dry dock they were building at the time. It hadn't even been completed. But we got in there, and they closed the case on and didn't have any facilities, you know, for this and that. And we had to do our stuff outside over the top of a 2x4.
What about when the second wave of planes came in?
All I remember is we just kept shooting. You don't think about what's happening, you're just doing it. You've had so much training, I guess. And then after the battle was over and the whole bit like that, everybody was trigger happy. They sent us sandwiches to eat, and we kept everything manned. All I know is I knew Charlie saw if he got injured, because when the flare of the torpedo went up through the ventilation system, it come out through the exhaust, which was over the top of the quarterdeck, and I understand he got burned and he ended up in the hospital. That was the last time I saw Charlie.
See, he's one of your good buddies, and you find out he's been burned from head to toe.
Yeah, and like I say, he ended up in the hospital. I never heard about him after that.
Here you are. This has all happened. You know your ship is damaged. You know people have died. And one of your best buddies is burned so bad it burned all the clothes off of him.
Yeah, just give you a shirt, yeah.
What did that do to you to know and see things like that?
Well, see, I didn't see that, but I heard about what happened to Charlie.
Yeah.
That he got burned, and the guys that did get burned, to start out with, we used to have inspections that they wore full uniform, whites. And then Eleanor Roosevelt come over before Pearl Harbor and had everybody send in 3 sets of whites and cut them down to where they looked like the Bermudas, you know, the shorts. And that was a bad thing, because when the guys got burned and stuff like that, the skin was exposed.
Yeah.
I can remember the first inspection that we had wearing them new outfits. We were up on a quarterdeck, and the captain, Max Dietermore, went through the lines in 2 ranks, facing forward, and then the front rank about facing, and then they have the inspection, you know. So as soon as that first rank did an about-face, and we were facing one another. Everybody looked at their faces first, and then they went down. Everybody had big tans, and they got down to the legs. They were white. Some of them were like toothpicks. They were big pot bellies. And I don't think there was anybody smiling or laughing like hell. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. But like I say, that exposure of the skin was a big thing. Mm-hmm. On them burned guys. Wherever the thickness was on a skivvy shirt, it was less burned with...
Sure.
Then, you know.
So there are guys that are burned. There are guys that are hit by projectiles, the shrapnel. And as I read in Chase's article, you saw a guy who was hurt pretty severely on one of the gun mounts, right?
What happened is one of the guys, he was in a turret 2. And in order to get into turret 2, which was higher than the turret 1, mm-hmm. you had to climb up a ladder to get up inside the turret. Mm-hmm. As he was reaching up into the ladder to climb up, some kind of fragment or something hit that barbette and hit him in the chest and tore his arm off. So they put him on the beach. And then when we had the canvas out there, we took the awnings down, he was inside one of those awnings.
With his whole arm blown off.
Yeah, dead in a doornail.
And you saw that?
Yeah, that's the only time I ever saw anything like that was real bad, except when I was in Guam and it's all the Japanese dead bodies and stuff and whatnot.
So seeing all of this, is that something that makes you angry? Are you just sad? How would you describe the emotions that stirred up in you?
I don't know how it affected me, honestly. Like I say, I guess I was going into what they call that post-traumatic deal. Because I got to where I just didn't give a rat's butt, you know, about anything. I just did what I thought I was supposed to be doing.
What about the days and weeks that followed the attack? What were you guys doing?
Well, what happened after the attack, and we were able to, they put us in the dry dock. And they patched the hole in the hull. And then we went back to Vallejo, and they took all the machine guns off, and they put 1.1s on, and then 40 millimeters. When we were well enough that they thought that we were able to go out, we stopped in Pearl, and then on our way to Guadalcanal, the South Pacific. And we met up with a ship from the East Coast, I think it was the Brazil. We were escorting, I think, the Long Island escort carrier with reinforcements of fighter planes, F4Us for the Marines on Guadalcanal. And we got there just right after the first battle of Guadalcanal, where the Quincy Vincennes Astoria and the Canberra were sunk.
Uh-huh.
We had an advanced base called Espirito Santo. We went down there, and then we operated out of there, in and out. The next thing that I can remember is September the 15th, we were operating with the Wasp. She got hit. It was on a payday, September the 15th.
1942,
yeah.
And this is another one of the great tragedies of World War II. Yeah. What happened to the USS Wasp?
Well, she got torpedoed. We were one of the escorts in the group, and we circled and circled, and and the guys went over the side, and some of them guys went over the side being payday. When they dropped the charges, you look over the side, and you could see money rolling around.
So you see a ship... They got torpedoed and is sinking, and you see basically the entire crew of the ship going overboard and in the water. Did you guys pick up some of those guys?
I think we picked up 400 guys that day.
And I'm just wondering, as you are witnessing the destruction of another ship, and your ship's already been hit once, and you're picking up guys, well, you were hit at Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
You're picking up guys from a sinking ship. Does it ever occur to you that could happen to you someday, that you might find yourself in that position?
Heck, I told you, heck no. No, we thought we were invincible.
But the first week of July in 1943 would tell a different story for the cruiser USS Helena, discovered now nearly 75 years later. It's time for our first break, but when we come back, hear what Ski Bernacki went through when the Helena was devastated by 3 Japanese torpedoes. Check out the photos and video at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and we'll be right back after this.